you can have a seat, that would be incredible. Several of you know this. If you're on Facebook, you know this. You saw it. My daughter and I got to go on this amazing little trip all around the world. We got to go to England, and I have a friend that lives there. So she was giving us the tour, and we ended up about 10:30 in the morning right in front of Buckingham Palace. And she looked at her watch, and she said, oh no, this is when they do the changing of the guard, because to locals, that's just a traffic jam. And we were sitting there, and we noticed that the flag was up, and they informed us that when the flag is up on Buckingham Palace, that means the Queen is sitting there in the palace. And so I decided that I'd just go visit the Queen. Everything's true except for that last part. Right? Could you imagine? Could you imagine me just going, hey, I'm going to walk up and say hey to the Queen? I mean, she's here, I'm a person, she's a person. That's just not how it works. I had a friend that when Twitter started out, he tweeted to Barack Obama before he was president. And whatever Barack responded in another tweet, my friend was convinced that Barack read his tweet and was responding to him. Most people looked at my friend and thought, he's nuts. I mean, can you imagine what if I decided I wanted to meet the prime minister? And I could write him a letter. And then I could write him another letter. And then I could write him a letter every single day. And eventually, the Secret Service would show up at my door. Right? Because where there's power and authority, there's generally less access. Maybe you've experienced this at work. You can talk to your boss pretty freely. But what about talking to your boss's boss? Or what about talking to the CEO of the company? Depending on the size and the influence of the company, it's harder and harder and harder to get an audience. Are you with me? Most of us, we have this whole, thank you. Most of us have this whole list of loopholes that we live with. Can I be honest? I've talked to some of the kids around here. And some of the parents are so busy that kids feel that way, that they don't even have access to their parents. They've got to jump through enough loopholes to get mom and dad's attention. I mean, some of the kids are really smart. They've learned, if I do the good thing, mom and dad give me more praise, more attention. If I score the winning goal, then I get the attention. Some kids are even smarter. They've realized it's easier to do bad things. And then I get even more attention. Bite your brother. Mom will suddenly have all of her focus on you. That was descriptive, not prescriptive. I'm not saying to bite your brother. So often, we approach God with that same loophole mentality. We go, what do I have to do to get God's favor? What do I need to do to be in his line of sight? See, throughout this summer, the theme's been your faith awakens. And I've said so many times that to say your faith awakens presupposes that you have faith. Just like to say wake up presupposes that you're alive. So where'd that faith come from? How'd you get that faith in the first place? Was it because you worked hard enough, you tried hard enough, you did enough good things? Was it because you just thunk your way into it? I believed enough and then I got faith. No, here's how faith works. Here's how salvation works. It's all a gift from God, period. First service, we had a baptism. Man, I love baptisms because it shows the whole picture. In the story you just heard, Jesus was baptized. And Jesus wasn't baptized for the same reason that we're baptized. Jesus already was perfect. Jesus' sins were already washed away. Jesus' baptism was an example to us, and we'll get there in a second. But it's easy to look at this way. Here's what happens. is the person with the most power initiates a relationship with the one with the least power. By the way, that's always how it works, right? The lesser person, the one with the lesser power, can't get the attention of the one with the greater power. I can't get the queen's attention. I can't get the president's attention. I can't get the prime minister's attention. I can't get the pope's attention. No, but God, the creator of the world, initiates a relationship with you and I. How does he do it? He does it through the Holy Spirit. And even before you were big enough or smart enough to even start understanding what was going on, you were brought to these baptismal waters and you were given a new identity. In the baptism, we always ask, how is this child to be named? And if I haven't explained that to the parents ahead of time, they just look at me like, ooh, you forgot my kid's name. I didn't forget your kid's name, and if I did, I'd lie about it better. We have it written down right up here, and we got a banner right on the front. I'd do like a sneaky glance. I'd pretend I was getting my hymnal. No, we ask, how is this child to be named? Because that's the child's birth name. But when you pay attention to the liturgy, to the order of service, you hear at the end, the actual baptism, the words are, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That little baby received a whole new identity. The same identity is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She bears the identity of Christ. See, it's this covenantal identity. That's what covenant is all about. In ancient times, the larger tribe would go to a lesser tribe and they'd initiate a covenant. They'd say, can our tribes become one tribe? Can we have one identity? What's yours is mine and what mine is yours. That's how identity always works. Are you with me? And Christ chose to initiate that covenant through those waters of baptism. See, Dr. Luther, Martin Luther, the 15th century reformer, he said this, he said, whenever you wash your hands, remember your baptism. We just changed over to an external custodian, by the way, and whenever we have changeover, I get to do little extra things around here. This week, it was checking the bathrooms. I learned stuff about you. Ladies, you use significantly more paper towels than the gentlemen. We looked at our church demographics. We're about 50-50 men and women. Guys, we got to up our game. We got to remember our baptisms. I did get thinking of it, just for the record. I think it's the guys just do this more, that we just don't use the paper towels. But the point is this, you do all wash your hands. I wasn't being creepy this morning. I just parked out to make sure. You do all wash your hands. I saw you doing it. Why does Luther say, whenever you wash your hands, remember your baptism? You know how I'd put it if I was Luther? Or I'd just put it this way. When you have that glass of water on hot, humid days like this, that it's filled with ice and it can't not have condensation on the outside too, when you touch that water and you take a sip, remember your baptism. This week at camp, it's water week, and I've learned a lot about kids and water. You cannot have a pond like ours and put up a sign that says no swimming, because all it does is teaches kids to lie, right? They get on the boat, they're just boating, and they accidentally fall out. Wasn't swimming, just fell out. How was I supposed to get back to the shore? I love it. I wasn't swimming, he pushed me. My watch was in there. No, you can't have a bunch of kids and them not jump in the pond. Why? Because we're drawn to water. We need water. It's part of our DNA. And so God took the water and he mixed it with the word and he gave us our identity in that. Now, I guarantee some of you are sitting here going, hold on, Pastor, I've never been baptized. That's not the tradition I came from. Great! The Holy Spirit is stirring something up inside of you, so let's do the baptism thing. Talk to me afterwards. We can do it today. Because that's where we get our identity, through the Holy Spirit, not because of works. It's from that. It's from our identity that we overflow into obedience. All that stuff that Christians do isn't to earn God's favor. It's not to get God on our side. It's because God is on our side. And so then we overflow in obedience. That's why it's so important to remember your baptism, to remember your identity. How many of us, if we're honest, we flip it? We get confused. We start thinking, my obedience is what gives me my identity. I've messed up one too many times. I've been disobedient way too much. And so I lose that identity. That's a lie spawned from the depths of hell. Weird thing, psychological research is proving this. Shame never causes rehabilitation. When somebody beats themselves up because of the thing that they've done wrong over and over and over and beats themselves up for it and beats themselves up for it and actually starts to attach their identity to that. I'm just stupid. I'm just dumb. I'm just an addict. I'm just a... The hopes of recovery go out the window. Why? Because that's not your identity. Your identity, your covenant identity, is a beloved child of God. I mean, sit in that for a second. God looks at you and he loves you. God looks at you and he delights in you. God looks at you and he is your proud papa, beaming. Not because of what you've done, but because you're his. I'm so blessed that, I'm so lucky, I'm so glad that I got to be a youth director for a long time before I was a pastor. Because I realized that nothing changes. Kids, that their daddy delights in them, have a higher success rate in life. Because they aren't working for that love. They're receiving that love, and they're going out, and they're just playing. I hate that statistic. Because I know that what some of you hear is, man, I never received that affirmation. I never received that love. I never received that guidance from my dad. Or from my mom, or for anybody from that. Our relationship was broken. That's because all of us, dads and moms, we're a poor reflection of the Father's love for us. Now, your heavenly Father, he loves you perfectly. He's forgiven you perfectly. And we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out, how do I live that out in obedience? What's it look like to own who you are in Christ? I was talking to a dude, he's 2 inches higher than me, super muscular. And as we got talking, he described himself as weak. He sat there and he goes, oh no, man, I can't do that. I'm not strong enough. I was floored because he definitely was strong enough. I could do it and I know I was weaker than him, but that was the juxtaposition. That was the thing he was holding himself up. He could name 5 guys that were stronger than him, so he defined himself as not strong instead of looking in the mirror, owning the fact that he was strong and living that into obedience. Fellas, Married dudes, you are good husbands. I didn't say you're perfect husbands. You are good husbands. Live like that. Wives, you are amazing wives. Live like that. Children, you are good kids. Live like that. And when you've fallen, when you failed, remember your baptism. Remember the fact that your identity isn't in your obedience, it's in the fact that your Father loves you. And if you forget your baptism, every time you touch water, let it be a remembrance. And this week, touch a lot of water. It's not supposed to go below 100. You're going to die if you don't. And if you don't remember your baptism, you're going to die. You're going to die to the weight of obedience that's crushing on your shoulders. Now remember your baptism. Remember that you're washed clean. I love the way Jesus says it. When Jesus took bread, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it. And when I can't just go to that verse. I've memorized it in order. I apologize. He broke it, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." You know what the Greek word is for that? The remembrance word? It's awesome. You guys all know a little bit of Greek. I know it. As soon as I say it, you're going to go, "Oh, I knew that." It's anti-amnesia. Or you've all watched soap operas. Don't pretend you haven't. Somebody corrected my theology. I had not watched enough soap operas, so I got this wrong. First service. No, in soap operas, amnesia is amazing. You get in some kind of car accident, and you wake up, and you don't remember who you are. You don't remember who you're married to. The person pointed out, you don't remember that you're married to this person and that person, and you get really confused when they both show up. But you forget the essence of who you are. That's amnesia. See, what Jesus said is, do this in anti-amnesia me. Remember that the essence of your identity is the same as the essence of my identity. That in baptism, you received my name, the name of my Father, the name of me, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Remember your baptism every time you see water. And can I encourage you? I love it. He doesn't call us the adults of God. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the adults of God. I'm thankful for that. It talks about the children of God. Just once this week. If you're wrestling with this, if you're wrestling with an identity issue, be a child of God. Pull the car over to the side of the road and jump in the pool. Please pack a swimsuit. And jump in the lake. Jump in fully clothed. Remember your baptism. And in a moment, we're going to return to this altar and hear the words where we remember who we are in Christ as we literally receive his very body and his blood in with and under this bread and this wine. And we remember. Somebody asked me what this was for. They're like, "Man, that's smart. It's promise dealing with flies." Now, this is a veil. It's not to keep flies away. That's what this thing's for. It's to remind us that what we're seeing here in the physical realm, sure, it's bread and it's wine. Or more specifically, it's bread, both gluten-y and gluten-free. It's fruit of the vine, wine, and grape juice. But the veil reminds us that that's not all that's going on here, that there's things that are unseen, that somehow, literally, it's Jesus' body in the bread, with the bread, under the bread. That when you're feasting on this body, you're really receiving Christ. Your sins are really being forgiven. It's not just a reminder, although it is a reminder. It's not just a symbol, although it is a symbol. It's real presence. He's really here. And it's the same with the cup. That Jesus' blood is somehow mysteriously really in this. And so this morning, as you come up to commune, I invite you to enter the mystery. Because as mysterious as this is, the fact that the God of the universe wouldn't only grant us access, but would pursue you in love. Man, that's the greatest mystery of all, but we enter into it freely.